G'day, and welcome to another episode of Left After Breakfast, coming to you from Melbourne, Australia. My name is Susanna Duffy.
3CR.
Can a song carry a revolution? Throughout history, uprisings have often been remembered not just through dates, battles, or leaders, but through music. Songs echo long after the noise of conflict fades. They carry emotion, identity, and memory in a way that written records sometimes cannot. But does music define an uprising? Not entirely. Revolutions are shaped by people, by ideas and actions. However, music gives those elements a voice that can travel across time and borders. It humanizes movements. It makes them relatable, memorable, and enduring. In the end, music does more than accompany history. It preserves it, amplifies it, and sometimes even inspires it. Because when voices rise together, not just in protest, but in song, they create something powerful enough to outlast the uprising itself. The Easter Rising of 1916 stands as one of the most significant turning points in modern Irish history, indeed in world history. Though it lasted just 6 days, beginning on Easter Monday in Dublin, its impact reached far beyond Ireland's shores. At the time, Ireland was part of the United Kingdom, and a small group of Irish Republicans seized key buildings and proclaimed an independent Irish Republic.
We declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies, to be sovereign and indefeasible. The long usurpation of that right by a foreign people and government has not extinguished the right, nor can it ever be extinguished, except by the destruction of the Irish people.
Militarily, the uprising was a failure. The leaders were quickly defeated by British forces. However, its true power lay not in victory, but in the ideas which it ignited. The execution of its leaders transformed public opinion. What was initially seen by many as a reckless rebellion became a symbol of sacrifice and national identity, and this shift ultimately paved the way for the Irish War of Independence and the eventual creation of the Irish Free State. So in this way, the Easter Rising holds an important place in world history. It demonstrates how even a failed uprising can reshape political consciousness and inspire future movements for independence. The Easter Uprising did not occur in isolation. Around the same time, the world was experiencing enormous upheaval during World War I, and in 1916, other uprisings and unrest reflected similar tensions. The Arab revolts or Arab forces rise against Ottoman rule, seeking independence and self-determination. Meanwhile, in Russia, growing unrest would soon lead to the Russian Revolution, which overthrew the Tsarist regime. So, across the globe, people were questioning authority, empire, and inequality. Now, what do people generally hope for in an uprising? Well, at its core, an uprising is driven by a desire for change. People hope for freedom, freedom from political control, freedom from economic hardship, freedom from social injustice. They hope for a voice in how they are governed. They hope for dignity and for a better future for the next generation. Sometimes these hopes are realized, and sometimes they aren't. But history shows that uprisings, even unsuccessful ones, can plant the seeds of transformation. The Easter Rising reminds us that history is not only shaped by victories, but also by courage, ideas, and the willingness to stand for change. Its legacy continues to inspire movements around the world, proving that even a small rebellion can leave a lasting mark on global history. In a population living under a conqueror, music becomes more than art. It becomes memory, resistance, and truth. In Ireland, history was not first written in books, but carried in voices. Songs passed from one generation to the next preserve stories that could not safely exist on paper. Under English rule, when the Crown controlled official records, what was written often reflected power, not reality. In many cases, recording Irish perspectives was not just difficult, it was illegal and effectively impossible. So the people sang. They sang of lost lands, of rebellion, of grief and of identity. These songs became living archives, protecting a version of history that might otherwise have been erased. In this way, music gave a voice to those denied one in official narratives. It ensured that even when a culture was suppressed, it was never silenced. Ireland reminds us that history does not only live in documents, it lives in people. And sometimes the most truthful record is not written, but sung. On this episode of Left After Breakfast, I'm presenting songs which define the Easter Uprising of 1916.
You're listening to 3CR 855 AM on digital and on the internet, www.3cr.org.au.
The most famous and lyrically complex of the ballads from 1916 is The Foggy Dew. It was written in 1919 by Father Charles O'Neill from County Down. The song was actually composed during the first sitting of the Dáil Éireann, the revolutionary Irish Parliament. As the roll of elected members were called, many names were answered with the phrase, Figlas an Agol, locked up by the foreigners. Canon O'Neill was struck by the absence of these men, imprisoned for their role in the independence movement. In the song, the narrator assumes the role of a chronicler, or bard. As down the glen one Easter morn to a city fair rode I. This establishes the tone for witnessing history. The narrator is not in the city, he's not fighting in the GPO, rather he is observing with a feeling of deep sorrow, an armed line of marching men, and this allows the song to stand back and look at what's happened and analyse. The song reflects on the rebellion, which was initially seen as a failure, but became a turning point for Irish independence. The lyrics contrast the bravery of the Irish rebels in Dublin with Irishmen fighting for Britain in the Great War. The meaning of the term, the foggy dew, is a phrase that comes with traditional folklore connotations. In this context, it symbolises the tragic yet heroic struggle for Irish freedom and for the memory of those who fell. It serves as a lament for the fallen and a tribute to the sacrifice of the 1916 leaders, suggesting that it was better to die for Ireland than to die in foreign battlefields. The song remains popular into this, the 21st century. It's iconic. Its place is cemented as a poignant, defiant anthem of Irish history.
Fair old I. squadrons passed me by. No pipe at home, no battle drum, dead sound at last too. But the angelus bells o'er the leafy swells rang out in the foggy. Flag of war. 'Twas better to die 'neath that Irish sky than that silver saddle bar. And from the plains of Royal Meath, strong men came hurrying through, while Britannia's horns with their long range guns sailing through in the foggy dew. Their bravest fell and the requiem bell rang mournfully and clear. and my heart with grief was sore, for I parted then with valiant men whom I never shall see no more. But to when you fell in the foggy dew.
The song Grace deals with heartbreak. It's a love song. The true story of the wedding of Joseph Plunkett and Grace Gifford. Plunkett was one of the signatories of the Proclamation of Independence, and he was sentenced to death by court-martial in the aftermath of the rising. After his sentencing, his sole concern was to marry his fiancée before his untimely death, and amazingly, the British administration in Ireland cooperated. Grace ensured that the wedding took place by securing all the necessary paperwork and buying a ring from a jeweller in Dublin on the day of the marriage. She had to move quickly since she only learned of his execution date the night before. Plunkett's point of view on the night of his wedding and the morning of his execution details his love for Grace and his love for Ireland. "I know it's hard for you, my love, to even understand the love I bear for these brave men, my love for this dear land." The song also places itself in Plunkett's mind as he walked out to face the firing squad. "On this May morn, as I walk out, my thoughts will be of you." It's a sad song with a lovely lilting melody. And I'll let Jim McCann tell you some more.
A few years ago, I was offered a song which I found so moving, I couldn't wait to get into a studio and record it. It's all about a young woman called Grace Gifford, who was the childhood sweetheart and for a very short period of time, the wife of a poet called Joseph Mary Plunkett. "I see his blood upon the rose, and in the stars the glory of his eyes. His body gleams amid eternal snows, his tears fall from the skies." Joseph Mary Plunkett was the youngest of the signatories of the Proclamation of Independence in 1916. At the age of 29, he was sentenced to death along with all the other rebels. He was shot in Kilmainham Jail in Dublin on the 4th of May 1916 at about 6:30 in the morning. A few hours before the execution, Grace Gifford and a priest were brought in, and in a bizarre ceremony, Joseph Plunkett married Grace. They were allowed just 15 minutes together, and that was the extent of their married life. I met a lovely old lady called Miss Bridget Kelly, who was actually present at the wedding. She told me that during the young couple's final few minutes, the only item of furniture in the cell was a small stool. Miss Kelly told me that Grace sat on the stool while Joseph Plunkett knelt on the floor. I find that image very touching. Although this story is set amid the terrible events of 1916, it is, in every sense, a love song.
As we gather in the chapel here in old Kilmainham Jail, I think about these past few weeks. Oh, will they say we failed from our school days? They have told us we must yearn for liberty. Yet all I want in this dark place is to have you here with me. Oh, Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They'll take me out at dawn and I will die. With all my love, I'll place this wedding ring upon your finger. There won't be time to share our love, for we must say goodbye. Now I know it's hard for you, my love, to ever understand the love I bear for these brave men, my love for this dear land. But when Parry called me to his side down in the GPO, I had to leave my homesick bed. To him I had to go. Oh, Grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They'll take me out at dawn and I will die. With all my love, I'll place this wedding ring upon your finger. There won't be time to share our love, for we must say goodbye. Now as the dawn is breaking, my heart is breaking too. On this May morn, as I walk out, my thoughts will be of you. And I'll write some words upon the wall, so everyone will know I loved so much that I could see his blood upon the rose. Oh, grace, just hold me in your arms and let this moment linger. They'll take me out at dawn and I will die with all my love. I'll place this wedding ring upon your finger. There won't be time to share our love, for we must say goodbye. Oh, there won't be time to share our love, so we must say goodbye.
James Connolly, a Scottish-born Irish Republican, socialist and trade union leader, stands as one of the most influential figures in Ireland's struggle for freedom. Born into poverty, Connolly developed a deep understanding of the hardships faced by working people, which shaped his lifelong commitment to justice and equality. In 1896, Connolly founded the Irish Socialist Republican Party, the first socialist party in Ireland. This party did not simply call for independence from English rule, it demanded something more profound. Connolly envisioned an Ireland free not only from the control of Britain's Crown and Parliament, but also from the grip of British capitalists, landlords, and financiers. He believed that true freedom meant economic as well as political independence. Connolly's ideals were put to the test during the Rising, when he played a leading role in the rebellion against British rule. Despite being seriously wounded, he remained resolute in his commitment. Following the Rising, Connolly was executed, an act that transformed him into a martyr for both Irish republicanism and for the labour movement. Unable to stand because of his wounds, his leg had turned gangrenous, Connolly had been placed in a chair and tied to it, then carried out before the firing squad. His body was placed, without right or coffin, with those of his comrades in a common grave at the Arbour Hill Military Cemetery. Today, James Connolly is remembered not only for his role in Ireland's fight for independence, but for his vision of a fair and equal society. His legacy continues to inspire those who believe that political freedom must go hand in hand with social and economic justice. Connolly's life reminds us that true independence is not just about sovereignty, it's about dignity, equality, and the rights of all people.
There is a page in history where the workers first fought back. In the might of exploitation, at last began to crack. In farm and field and factory, in workshop, mine and mill, a flame was lit, a beacon bright, that flame is burning still. And Connolly was there, Connolly was there, bold, brave, undaunted, James Connolly was there. Now William Martin Murphy and his Dublin millionaires tried bribery and corruption, hypocrisy and flares, to smash the transport union, their scab they did enlist. But all the graft was shattered by a scarlet iron fist. And Connolly was there, Connolly was there, bold, brave, undaunted, James Connolly was there. The bosses tried to sweat the lads way down in Glasgow's Clyde. A voice like roaring thunder soon stopped them in their stride. In Liverpool and Belfast, where the workers lived in hell, James Connolly rose and gave them hope, the truth to you I'll tell. And Connolly was there, Connolly was there, bold, brave, undaunted, James Connolly was there. Oh, Irishmen, the day will come when workers one and all will rise up from their bended knee and rally to the call. Throw out the boss's tyranny and shout from shore to shore for a working man's republic and for freedom evermore. And Connolly will be there, Connolly will be there, bold, brave, undaunted, James Connolly will be there. And Connolly will be there, Connolly will be there, bold, brave, undaunted, James Connolly will be there.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for the ride. See you next week. Same time, same place. Until then, it's cheerio and ciao from Left After Breakfast.